Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't stop now. Just keep it going, baby.
Go Warriors!
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Alrighty, it's time for the crossover brought to you by Bay Alarm. Rest easy, we've got you covered. BayAlarm.com. Let's welcome in Mark Willard and Mark Grandy today.
Yeah.
Grandy in for Dan Dibley. What is up, gentlemen?
If you don't like Grandy, you don't like yourself. Thank God, no deals.
Yeah, you're gonna
do you have any enemies, Grandy? Have you ever got into anything with anybody?
Why
is Donnie shaking his head?
I'm going to tell you, and it's going to be a compliment for Grandy.
Oh, okay.
Grandy's got this nice boy attitude.
Quality.
And it's, hello, there we go. I'm just going to say, don't think for a minute he doesn't have an edge.
I know he doesn't have an edge.
That's all I'm saying.
But I know him well enough to say that, like,
he's got her.
He'll advertise what his edge is. And so you know how to either avoid it or purposefully hit it.
Take his
turkey sandwich from him.
It's a compliment,
Grandy. That's for sure in his bag right now.
It's in the fridge. I need to go grab it.
Exactly. Yeah, I love it, man.
Exactly.
And my apple.
Al Horford.
Yep.
Were you as shocked as
I mean, I was surprised.
Yeah.
I didn't see it coming.
I didn't either.
Second year, right?
Yeah. There were two surprises to me. I woke up found out that he opted out of his player option.
Okay, and that was a surprise.
He's not coming. Is he retiring? And then I read further, and now he has a new 2-year deal. Mm-hmm. Both of those were surprises.
Man, oh man.
Yeah, I didn't see that one coming. But I guess we should have realized the timing of it. Like, that's what's about to go down is all of the option guys.
All right, Draymond, I'm like 99.9. There will be multiple years.
And June 29th is the deadline.
You ain't there.
I'm not there.
You like Steiny.
I think this is about Steph, not Draymond. That's my take. I think if you want to make this about another Warrior, I think it's about Steph. Because Steph is going to sign a 1-year extension. Like, that's not surprising, right?
Gotcha.
Okay, so if Steph's going to sign a 1-year extension, that means Steph's going to play at least 2 more years. Yeah. And on some level, cheap veterans will be around for that period.
Mm.
And this is one of them. And it would only bother me if the number would have to be bigger to bother me.
All right.
$7 million.
For Horford.
I got you.
You can, you know.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. I do believe, and I know he's got his podcast, but if a reporter could get to Draymond
man.
I'll bet you could get a story.
There's no doubt. The jukebox plays
it's
music.
That
might be always true. Is there ever a time where that's not the case?
Because if you could get to him before his next podcast.
That is great, man.
I wonder.
So you really would play hardball? And again, it's not that. It's the years, Grandy Willard, that he's going to watch Horford. Okay, you gave him 2, and the ball stops on me. Watch out.
I think it's partly about Draymond. I think it's also partly about what's available to the Warriors, because it seems to me like the only way the Warriors were willing to give Draymond the extra year and lower his number this year was if that allows them to bring somebody in that they think it's worthwhile. And that, to me, is probably LeBron and maybe nobody else. So if they get word that LeBron is not going to sign with the Lakers and he would take their $15 million non-taxpayer mid-level exception, that probably signals to them, okay, Draymond, we'll make this $18 million for this year. We'll use that savings to give us our full $15 million mid-level, give that to LeBron. But if they think LeBron's not coming, then who else out there is worth giving the money to that you'd be saving on Draymond and giving him the extra year?
Yeah, cosign.
Wow.
This to me is like you guys got some grown kids.
Yeah.
Let's say you got summer coming up and you took one of them to Tahoe for the weekend.
Just one of them.
Okay. And then the other one's like, you took your person to Tahoe. You need to take me to Europe. Whoa. Draymond's in a completely different sphere than Al Horford. Yeah,
no doubt about it.
You give Al Horford 2 years and $7 million a year, that's still half over 2 years of what Draymond's just going to make this year.
Man.
So, like, I hear where you're coming from, and I get it. There's just a lot of Warrior wounding out there. I know you feel like the Warriors have never, ever sort of, like, stood up to Draymond, but I don't know that this is that.
Mm.
Like,
but if it's...
I don't know if this is that.
I'm going, boys, and me, and so hard to say goodbye. If there is no re-up or multiple years, then this would really, truly, to me, signal this is your last one in town, man. And I don't and he would not, from what I think I know of him, that he is not, that would bother him for all the reasons that I think.
I don't know. I can't say you're wrong.
How would you feel if you were him and y'all going to do me like, what if I had to tear something or y'all going to really do this?
So I got an organization that's giving me $250 million over 13 years. And I'm going to get pissed about the... You know what I mean?
Yeah, but when you say it that way, like, it sounds like it, but you know Dre, man. And
I do. So I said, I can't say that you're wrong, but wow, that'd be some next level stuff if you got to the end of all this and you were mad because you wouldn't tack on one extra year that actually only represents a little bit more money than what's already been signed. I don't know. That would be, to me, if Draymond feels that way, that's on him.
Do you want them to give Draymond another year?
No, I do not.
Or you just think the Horford move signals that maybe they are.
No doubt about it. Like, they're playing a different game that Klay didn't win, unfortunately. And I think because of the breakdowns with the body, he didn't make it the end of this great movie. It's not about championships. We're trying, but it's going to be Kerr, Steph, and Dre, I believe. So I would be shocked if Dre is not on this team. It's long as Steph is.
And you might be right, but I would say, if I'm the Warriors, here's what I say. You want to opt in, go ahead and opt in.
Okay.
And we are very, like, let's play this year, and we're very, very open to how this is going to play out for the year after that based on how this year
Steiny,
goes.
Before you go, and Grandy, I feel like
lots of
egos now, it's a flex, and it's a bad flex or a slight to a guy of Draymond's stature to be put in a situation to where I've been here umpteen times, we won 4 chips, you want me to play and go? I just feel like the fact that we'll give you another year, that means something.
Yeah, you know what else means something? Tell you what, we'll give you 4 years with a player option in the fourth year. Okay, this is your player option. This is what you went to battle for 4 years ago. A player option. Make your decision. The one thing that I'm thinking about with Draymond and who, let me think, it was Draymond. Oh, I'm thinking about Mike Dunleavy's answer to Tim Kawakami. When Kawakami was specific about, you know, there's some stuff out there that Draymond could rip up his contract, get 2 more years at a lower number, and maybe you could. Now I remember what Dunleavy said. He goes, you know, that's something that's, we could do that, but you know, if we do that, we'll then limit ourselves in other areas, and we've got to make sure that we don't do that and limit. And now I am starting to think that maybe this re-up was about one person, LeBron James. Like, okay, we'll do that, Dre, if we can get LeBron in here. Well, we can't get LeBron in here. So guess what? We don't have a $15 million player out there that we covet as much as you being off the team at the end of the year.
And the other thing is, and who knows if they actually take advantage of it, because I think some of the contractual stuff that they've done have frustrated Warrior fans, and I'm up there with them. But what happens if you don't give Draymond the extra year is he becomes a $27 million expiring contract this year. Do they have the guts to trade him? We'll find out potentially, but that's valuable. Like, you would rather have, it almost doesn't matter who the player is, unless it's the elite of the elite. You would rather have a player on a 1 year, $27 million deal than a player on a 2 year, $35 million deal or whatever it is.
I mean, and don't forget, I get the whole picture, but if you're Draymond, declining and signing for at least less annually. Yeah. I know it's more overall money.
Total, yeah.
But that's a little bit of a favor or a work no with doubt. You.
Yeah, and which I think he wants to stay.
I think there's got
to
be a reason for that. Not just like because you feel like being here for 2 years.
Wow.
There's got, and I to me, that was Draymond's understanding also. Like, I'll lower my money this year, do you a solid, do me a solid by getting a better teammate in here. But if there is no such teammate, why? Why would he change this year's number from 27 to 19?
Well, I think the Warriors are fine with that, too.
Right.
If there's no such player available.
Correct.
So they say, all right, we're going to save a lot more money next year in our ability to bring somebody else in next year.
And we can trade you.
Yep.
Exactly. Like if Draymond says, okay, let's add on another year, but let's make it $35 million total. Or $32 million total.
It, right.
Like, I mean... Or the Warriors get to a point where he's a free agent next year and they sign him to a super low number next year because maybe he doesn't have a huge market and he wants to retire a Warrior with Steph.
Yep. I mean, that is the other thing, too. I mean, if he's making 28 and they think that's a lot for him, well, they might not be interested in 38 over two. You're right. Mm. And they say to Draymond, look, let's be honest. You play one more year and then... You can slide into the Haslam role if you want for a year or two, if they want and if he wants. Or if he thinks he's got something left in the tank, then go take a year or two contract somewhere where you think he can win.
What's really the...
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Risk for Draymond. So he opts in and you get $27 million.
And get hurt.
Okay, but like, so what are you risking? In other words, we're talking about turning it into 2 years and 38.
Right now.
And you did 1 year and 27.
I got you.
You're risking $11 million total dollars. What are the chances that the following year you're not going to at least be a $5, $6, $7, $8, $9, $10 million player? Do you even want to play? All of those things. Like, what's he really risking to just opt in?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of crazy reactions that I saw to the Horford news, and I think it's exactly the way Guru's mind works, which was, oh, that means they're bringing Draymond back.
Hey,
that
thanks.
No, I think that's how a lot of people. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. No, I think that's how a lot of people reacted.
Yeah. There's a lot of distrust.
You're in lockstep with, I think, a lot of how the fan base thinks, but I don't think it really has anything to do with the Horford deal itself.
Wow.
It has to do with what we all think it means is coming next.
I don't want to throw the Giants in here, but that word you hit me a couple days ago with it. The trust, not on the Niners, but with these two teams, I think that's very valid.
Well,
man.
I think very, very different kinds of distrust. Right now, the Giants are dealing with the whether or not we're literally trusting the words that are coming out of their mouth. The Warriors, I think it's more an action thing where, I saw it on draft night and all the sarcasm that came the next day. Who cares who they pick? It's not like Steve's going to play them.
Right.
There's a distrust that the Warriors are going to not just capitulate to Draymond no matter what. And I get it. That's wounding. I personally believe the organization right now, when they say, and they have outwardly said this, we realize that we need to now do this differently. And I believe them.
But we got to get younger.
I get it. I get it if there are fans who don't. It's been a lot of years of the same thing.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station, always live on the free Odyssey app, and now broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios. I think Mark's right on it. And
which one?
Both of you. But Willard,
he was definitely talking to me. Definitely.
Willard on the distrust, because we took a lot of calls today saying, this means Draymond's a million different things. This means Draymond's coming back. And, that crossed my mind, too. I mean, oh, boy, does this mean it's going to be 2 years? Does this mean they're going to try to go get Porzingis for two, maybe, with a player team option? Are they going to give Draymond one more? I still go back to Slater, who, and I know, I haven't been in many locker rooms. Yeah. And
I don't know where you
anyway. No, but...
We got a little fight. It wasn't even a fight.
No, there's something that he knows that he's not sourcing about the plan is to have Draymond opt in.
For
like
sure.
He's just kind of put that there without any sources. He's like, he's saying that's what it looks like right now.
Good luck with that. And Draymond being, I got to give him the benefit of the doubt, but man, I would be worried of if you guys say the stuff matters, the locker room and all that. Draymond's a prideful person, and I get the Warriors' reason, but man, I would be like, my employee is not going to be happy if you guys do him that way.
But has Draymond, okay, I get, like, Draymond has sparred with Steve Kerr on the bench. He has punched a teammate. He says what he says in podcasts. There's all that. Has he ever gone that route where it's like he's drawn a line in the sand about contracts and done so in an egomaniacal way?
You know what?
I feel like he's a little more self-aware on that front than maybe we give him credit for.
You know what? And I'm thinking, and I could be wrong about the – and again, Guru, where'd you pull that from? Him telling the story to Durant about what happened with Myers and Kerr and how they tried to, you know, discipline him. Stuff like that that was not contract-related. Right. So I'll give you that. But for him to tell us on his podcast, and I don't think he was doing it to go against Mike Dunleavy, but I did think when Mike said we didn't try to move Draymond, Draymond probably saying to his closest people, like, what the hell? Because he told us his conversation we all heard with Steve Kerr and Kerr telling you and Dibs about, you know, hey, how you guys dealing? How's the wife dealing with the trade rumors?
Trade rumors.
And then Mike's like, nothing ever happened here, but Dre, he's living his life. Stiney, like, man, we had to prepare.
That's just semantics. I mean, Dunleavy can say, yeah, we weren't shopping him. We weren't trying to get rid of him. But that doesn't mean that his name didn't come up at a potential Giannis offer.
I mean, the Slater
thing. He's technically telling the truth.
Yeah, but the Slater thing that you're referencing, Steiny, also in there about Draymond. Slater keeps writing, the organization was very proud of the way Draymond handled trade rumors. It's like, wait a minute, you said that there weren't any.
There were rumors.
He wasn't shocked.
That's what I mean.
So, yeah, there's...
Yeah.
I mean... You know what this could be setting up for on Monday? So Monday comes, and we find out that Draymond is just going to play one more year.
Okay.
You know what you can say to him? They don't love you like that.
Man,
isn't that what he said to Paul Pierce?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, they don't love you like that.
You
they
thought
don't
you love was you like Curry.
Was hurt.
You thought you were Curry?
That hurt Paul. Yeah.
No, they don't love you like that.
Well, it is
well,
funny.
Well, they do. They just get you $400,000.
That was 4 years ago.
It is funny that it is a player option, but the Warriors hold all the cards.
I agree with that.
Because they know Draymond, if it's $27 million or nothing, we'll take the $27 million because he's not getting anywhere near anywhere else. And, of course, he wants to be a Warrior. So if the Warriors just hold strong to we're not giving you an extra year, no matter what the number is, Draymond, sorry, it's $27 million and you're going to be on an expiring deal. There's nothing Draymond can do about it.
Well,
if the Warriors hold strong.
Right. I know a lot of people still have at least one eyebrow raised about Mike Dunleavy, and he's never had a lottery pick before, so let's see what he does there. And I'm not even saying that financial flexibility is the most wonderful thing in the world. But if you do look around the league at what happens when teams kind of get to a certain spot, either like it's gone well or what they were trying to do didn't work.
Yeah.
And look at all of these teams going, dude, we got it. Like Minnesota moved back to get rid of Julius Randle.
They went backwards
in the draft. It was, can we call someone and what can we do for you to take the good player off
A good player. I think of Randle on a good day as a good player.
And there's a lot of time between now and two seasons from now, but the Warriors have not committed to anything that will be hung around their neck in a couple of years. They haven't done that at all. And that to me is underrated. That's an underrated thing that's going on right now.
Well, you said clean the books. That's why the Horford second year had me like, huh? Well, but it was minimal, but still.
Well, no, I thought clear the books could mean for next year, but it looks like it'll be for the year after
that. Well, it's still only $7 million for Horford.
No, but
that's so little.
You know, they're going to give Curry an extension probably.
Sure. And even if he takes a discount, which you've been talking about for months now, it's still going to be a big number.
Exactly. So I think maybe what they're doing is saying, we'll give Steph another year. We'll get Porzingis back, for two more years and just kind of set that deadline at the end of the 2028 season.
What the hell happens with Butler?
Don't forget your Pods extension.
True.
What happens with Butler on an expiring now, too?
I think that's just a big, huge wait and see.
This is generally when Jimmy Butler gets anxious.
What'd you fight about today?
What was it? Oh, it was the Giants. Today? It was Devers.
Oh, what about him?
And, you know, he made the comment yesterday. This didn't bother him. He made the comment yesterday that I like the consistency from athletes like Devers. If they don't fool with the media, they don't fool with it. And I'll give you that. But what was it, Stoney? Something just triggered me.
Yeah. Glad you're admitting it.
He apologized, and it's nothing to see here. And, you know.
He apologized what? To Vitello?
To Vitello. But I'm just
Guru's
the guy.
Mad that he didn't pay the price.
No. You should apologize to the whole team.
Maybe he did.
Okay, and that's what I said. That's exactly what I said. But, like, stuff like that to me, guys, just, you know, apologizing to I'll never forget that. It doesn't mean I won't forgive you, but you sums up, you know?
Yeah, I was more bothered by the whole, like, now let's turn this out into, it was a misunderstanding, so what you all watched actually didn't happen. And B, it's your fault for then making a big deal out of it.
That's what happened.
This is not a misunderstanding.
Yeah, I got a little laugh.
This was not about, like, I don't care how healthy your hamstring is. You pinch run for the slow guy with the fast guy.
And you do what your manager says.
When there's a one-run game in the ninth inning, you do that. So I don't care if you never said a word about your hamstring.
It would have happened last night, too, if he got on first base in the ninth instead of hitting the home run.
One person finally with the Giants struck a good chord. When Tony Vitello made that joke after the game last night.
Did you hear that, Goon?
No.
The press conference is over. Everyone's kind of done with questions. And then Tony looks at everybody and goes, so just want to mention, I think the coaches did a great job tonight, but the best coaching moment of the night was when Devers was on his way to the plate in the ninth. We told him, you get on first. We're pinch running for you.
I'm going to give him a four.
And the room was kind of silent.
Yeah.
Like 4 or 5 seconds.
And then he pointed to one reporter. He goes, you gave a courtesy laugh. I saw that.
That's pretty good.
That was a joke, people.
I love it.
And then he walked off.
I love it.
I was like, finally, somebody just broke the tension.
And I guess Buster he had an appointment today that he missed.
Must have slept in.
What did you think of that?
Not surprised, honestly.
Must have overslept.
You know what I said about
those
Devers?
Those alarms can be tricky.
Like, I think this is who Devers is. Swear to God, I think. So, if Vitello would have told him the other night, hey, dude, you get on by walk say, we're going to pinch run for you, he would have gone up there and tried to hit a homer.
For sure he would have. For sure he would.
He would have been like, a homer, I'll strike out, but I ain't going to get to first base.
Catcher drops the third strike. Devers just stares at him.
If he gets a single, he's trying to make it a double. He's going to throw it out.
Last night they said, hey, if you get on this time, we are pinch running for you. He's like, well, I ain't getting on by single or walk.
I know Jonah Cox was like, don't get on. Yeah.
Stanley, I literally laughed out loud today with something you said, and I don't want to assume all of our listeners heard all of the show, but I have to just make mention, first of all, You're so awesome for going all the way.
I saw your oldest son, Abe.
See my wife and my son and everything. But the story.
And Doug?
The story of the Throne Club, the alignment drill that Doug does.
It's something I'll never forget
this
in my life.
Flying iron through the air that could have killed someone.
It went up a hill.
Yeah, can you share the story again?
Before you share the story, I'm driving around. Right. Obviously, I have a personal attachment to this, but I'm listening and I'm chuckling. And Steiny, when you said, who's got a tougher job? Posey, Dunleavy, or Doug?
That's pretty good.
Like, oh, my God.
No, he's so great. But he started it real quick with, tell me about you in golf. And I was kind of embarrassed because Christy was there. I said, I got this funky thing with my chicken wing. All my friends and family are playing, but there's tension. What's going on here? So he had an exercise of, forget the ball, get the club. Look towards that way.
In your right hand.
In my right hand. But he was pushing up against my, said I was strong, pushing up against my shoulder, and he had my left hand.
Yeah.
So he said, just throw the club. It's supposed to go forward. But because I got this hitch and chicken wing thing, mine went all the way backwards like a boomerang.
Wait, it went backwards?
Backwards in the air. Listen.
Like a solid 30 yards.
Yes, I'm watching it, and I go, somebody was there with his son. I go, it's
like
gonna
a helicopter?
Hit him. Yes, and I'm watching it in real life like, this could be a felony. Like, Hey, and it fell right before him, and they gave a look. And of course, I'm doing my presidential sorry. And they're looking like,
what the hell?
How did the club get up there?
It wasn't his night.
Yeah, was it?
Golfers are used to looking for flying golf balls,
dude.
Not flying golf clubs.
I got to get this fixed. But Doug said he can fix me.
He can fix everything.
All right, there it
he's
is.
He's a great coach.
Yeah.
He's a great he coach. But
that's amazing.
Randy, it went the wrong way up in the air.
He does have a tough job.
All I got to say is if I'm a listener and I'm trying to get in on the Silverado experience that you guys are doing coming up in a couple of weeks.
He said he might have me. I'm going back. We're going back. He said he's coming ready.
I want to be paired with Goo just for entertainment value.
Yeah. Shasky said he felt bad. I didn't hear it, but somebody, he felt bad for him.
Why?
Like, damn.
Well, because they put Christie's swing up next to Guru's.
Well, they didn't do that. You did. Well, I mean,
I didn't see that. Is that out there? Well,
no, I just made it. I made it out. I just made it out.
All right, guys, we'll be listening.
Keep working, Goo. You'll get it.
There we go.
Have a great one. We'll talk tomorrow.
All right, there we go.
95.7.
Keep fighting.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time, or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.